here we go. It's hour number two of First Up here on TSN 1050, streaming worldwide, tsn1050.ca and the iHeartRadio Canada app. Aaron Karolnik, Carlo Koliakovo with you. Welcome Dave Poole into the show at 7:45. 7 days until the Toronto Maple Leafs open up their regular season campaign. 6 months till their eventual first-round exit. Ah, Leafs humor.
You have to everyone be that guy.
Hey, everyone, that's a common joke. I am kidding.
Oh, of course you. I know
I think they're
a
getting
joke
out of the first round this year for
we're
sure.
We're going to go there again.
I don't know. Who knows? And that's the thing we got to concern ourselves with as content creators in the radio game. You know, we'll be talking a lot about Matt Murray and Ilya Samsonov. What can Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner do for a repeat performance following their incredible years last year? But at the end of the day, it's all about those 2 weeks in April where it's determined whether or not they get over the hump. And sure, we don't know how Tampa will fare this year or Florida or Boston with all of their, like, there's a litany of injuries with the Boston Bruins. Taylor Hall is now hurt. He might miss the season opener next week against Washington. So the Bruins are really banged up, and who knows how it all plays out. But the irony of this whole situation is with the Toronto Maple Leafs is we're just waiting because we know they're going to be in the playoffs, barring some catastrophe. Mm-hmm. And, you know, everything else is kind of inconsequential in many respects, which is weird to say about a team, any team really, but it's just a reality that I think every Toronto Maple Leafs fan has to understand is the truth, right?
No, I totally agree with everything you're saying because it's true. You know, as much as the season is upon us and it's a new season and it's, you know, new set of goaltenders, it's a fresh start for everybody. Yeah, it's going to be a fun season for the Maple Leafs. It's going to be a fun season for us to cover, but it's hard for us to get excited for this season because we know this season is going to be determined or judged based on what happens in the playoffs again, which sucks. It absolutely sucks because you could have Matthews winning the Rocket again. You could have Marner scoring 100 points. You know what I mean? You could maybe Nylander can have a breakout year as well, too, and be an 80, 90-point guy. And those are all great things to have on a hockey team. But again, you know, they're going to be judged on what they do in the playoffs. And it sucks because us in Toronto, all we want to do is fast-forward the clock. But you can't. This is the thing you have to understand. You can't fast-forward the clock and start the playoffs because if you don't have a good regular season, you ain't getting to the playoffs.
Well, of course, and you want to be peaking at the right time if you're the Toronto Maple Leafs, much like the Toronto Blue Jays are doing right now, right?
I mean,
that's kind of the staple. But what you want to have success in the playoffs is a good lead-in because if you're struggling, you've got injuries or something, then it might not happen for you.
So you said injuries, and this is what I want to caution people about because I don't know what's going to happen. I can't predict what's going to happen. This is something I really fear about what's going to happen this year in the NHL. And it's not going to be Maple Leaf related. It's going to be NHL related. I truly believe, because even the rash of injuries that we're seeing right now, the depth around the NHL and around all these teams is going to be tested this year like it's never been tested before. Because I believe that the amount of hockey that a lot of these players have played in a condensed schedule over the last 2 years might catch up to them this year.
Hmm.
Might catch up to them. We're seeing it now.
We're seeing it now.
Look at the rash of injuries you're seeing around the league. You know what I mean? I truly do believe depth this year is going to be more important than any other year we've faced because this is the first time going back to a normal schedule. And the condensed schedules that we've seen in the past, in life, just like everything else, some way, somehow, it always catches up to you. And I believe this year it might.
Well,
that's
injuries,
what I fear. I hope you're wrong.
But I would say the Leafs are well positioned in that respect. They're pretty.
You hope so.
They've got a depth of defense, depth up front, two NHL caliber goalies.
So here's the thing. Here's the thing that I question when people say they have depth on defense. If Morgan Rielly goes down, do they have depth on defense?
But you could say the same thing for every team's
number. No, but like, again, like you say depth on defense. Like, I don't see the depth on defense.
If Morgan Rielly goes down, your three left side defensemen would be Muzz and Giordano and Rasmus Sandin. That's what you'd have.
And then who's your right side defense?
Well, you know, Justin Hall and DJ Brody and
Timothy Liljegren.
And Mete, sure, you know, like, yeah. But yeah, of course, if you lose your number one D-man, every team will struggle. It's, you know, if Cale Makar goes down or Charlie McAvoy has gone down for Boston, a lot of examples of teams struggling without their number one defenseman. If that were to happen, let's just hope for the Toronto Maple Leafs that is not the case. Because
we're seeing the Maple Leafs' depth on defense be tested right now, right? Does that make you worried? Makes me worried. But, and this is the other thing, too. Like, and don't get me wrong, I don't want to deflate the tires that have been pumped so far for some of these Maple Leaf guys that have stood out, because ultimately, at the end of the day, you're still playing the games, regardless of who you're playing them against. You have to do what you have to do. And if you want to make the team, you have to stand out, regardless of the strength of the opponent. I like what I see out of Robertson. I like what I see in spurts of what Dennis Malgin has shown, because those are going to be important depth pieces to this team. But when everybody's healthy, do people really think Nick Robertson or Dennis Malgin are going to play in the top six of this team? I don't.
You don't think Robertson will be on the left side of the second line when everyone's healthy?
I don't. Who are you taking out?
It could be Kerfoot.
Who are you taking out of the lineup?
That's a struggle that they've got, because Robertson could stand up and down, right?
Right. And the thing is that what people, and I hate saying this because it's cap related, and I hate talking about the cap, but understand one thing: when the Maple Leafs are fully healthy, they can only carry 20 guys to stay cap compliant. So, you know, does Robertson's play with the first four or five games in the regular season in that top six role, because John Tavares is going to be out, does his play force the team to move somebody else? I don't think so. Because if they wanted to move somebody else, why did they do it in the offseason?
Well, I don't think they knew, or, I mean, again,
Engvall's not coming out of the lineup.
No. Okay? But it's also about
Kerfoot's not coming out of the lineup. So if Robertson's going to be in the lineup, who's coming out? You're not playing. You can't play him on the fourth line.
No, it doesn't make sense. He's got to be in a position to produce.
So, and the only thing Robertson can do, it is the only advice I can give him, is keep doing what you're doing, because your play will put the pressure on the team to make that tough decision on somebody else, because your play will prove that you deserve to be there. And that's what this team needs. This team needs internal push from those guys there. Kyle Dubas said it at the end of the year. We need guys from our minor league system that are prospects to step up and push guys for spots. And if he does that, all the power to the Leafs.
That would be huge for the Leafs to get a guy on a cheap contract, a young player who they've drafted and developed to become someone who can contribute for them, not only for this season, but for the years to come. Because you know what else is coming? Some big contracts for guys like Matthews, Nylander, Marner, et cetera. So,
Did you see the other day online people are starting to put McDavid and Leaf uniforms?
Yeah, I did see that. I didn't really understand
where
that came from.
Guys, come on, stop with this nonsense. This can't even be entertained till 2026. Yeah. Why are we doing this?
You can never
stop.
Yeah,
McDavid, it's nonsense.
Holy crap!
Enjoy the good team you have here, because it's a good team. It's a really good team. They're going to have another good regular season. Ultimately, it's going to be judged in the playoffs again, but man, it's crazy.
We'll continue our Leafs conversation with Dave Poulin, our hockey analyst, at 7:45 for Leafs Breakfast. The Toronto Blue Jays, their matchup is set in the wild card round. They will be hosting the Seattle Mariners. That is locked in. We do not yet know what time the game will be, but we do know where it will be in Toronto. A first playoff game for the Toronto Blue Jays at home since 2016. So it's been a long time coming. And yesterday I was watching videos of like some big moments, the Encarnacion home run, obviously Jose Bautista, Tulowitzki hit some huge home runs back in those years in the 2015, 2016 runs. Man, the Rogers Center, it takes a lot of flack, but it is just electric as far as an environment goes. When it's full and a big moment happens.
So, did you see that that link I sent you guys yesterday of the compilation of big home runs that were hit in home playoff games for the Jays?
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm talking about, yeah.
So apparently, like yesterday on the day off, there was a couple of players like Bichette, like Vladdy, like Manoa that were watching these highlights of the Jays hitting those home runs and those moments of playing at home, because Bo Bichette made a great point. The last playoff series, the only playoff series this team has experienced, was a two-game series in Tampa where there was no fans.
Yeah, and there's never any fans there anyways.
Right, so they haven't really tasted that playoff atmosphere. And so, like, I watched those videos and I got goosebumps. Can you imagine what these guys are going, knowing that this is what they're going to play in? Like,
well,
I would,
Friday night,
I would,
baby.
Oh, yeah.
Alec Manoa.
Can't wait.
Manoa on the hill, and Seattle has not announced their rotation, but my guess would be that Luis Castillo would go for them. So that's a hell of a showdown between two of the top right-handed arms in baseball, and then perhaps we had Gausman versus Robbie Ray on Saturday, and man, it's going to be so much fun. Again, I'm just hoping that it's not a 1 o'clock start on Friday. I want prime time. I want 7:07 first pitch, and we'll go from there. But, you know, you're at the whim of ESPN and Major League Baseball as far as the schedule goes. And historically speaking, with regards to Toronto sports, the afternoon is the most likely slot considering the American television networks. But we'll get updates as we go along. We'll talk to Greg Amsinger at 8:45. Maybe he knows. He worked for the MLB Network. He probably had some internal emails that would, you know, maybe give us a little bit of a lead as far as the timing goes for the Jays. But they do have two games today, a doubleheader against Baltimore, completely irrelevant, and the game yesterday was rained out, so they got to slog through 18 innings today, and you'll see a lot of Mitch White and Yusei Kikuchi to chew up those innings, and then the page is turned on the regular season to the postseason, and it all gets going on Friday. Bang or what coming up on the other side, plus our TSN hockey analyst Dave Poulin in 30 minutes or less. First Up continues next.
Ready, set, react. It's bang or what? Will this segment end with a
bang
or a
what?
Back here on First Up, Aaron Karolnik, Carlo Koliakova with you. We'll bring in Arad to present our bang or what topics in just a moment. But Coco, I'm looking at FanDuel this morning. Odds have been released on the Jays versus the Mariners. Toronto a -170 favorite in the series. Jays were 2-5 against the Mariners this year. You're going to lay the juice on the Jays?
I don't like that. That's too heavy.
It's three games.
Well, it's best 2 out of 3.
Well, that's what I mean. Yeah, best 2 out of 3. So,
yeah.
You know, it's very fluky.
Obviously, I want the Jays to win, but those are heavy. That's too heavy of a line for me. Too heavy. There's more value on Seattle, to be honest with you, if you're a betting
person. We do like value. Yeah. We'll get back to the odds with Amsinger at 8:45. Let's bring him in. Arad Osmandi for Bang or What. What's going on?
What is going on? Let's start with the big man himself, Aaron Judge. Bang or what? People who call Judge the real home run king are delusional.
Bang! Bang! That's where that... I get it. Like, I get people are saying he's the real home run king because he did it clean. But, look, Barry Bonds is the home run king. The guy hit, what, 72? Is it 72?
73 home runs.
73 home runs. I don't care if he's on steroids. At the end of the day, he still had to hit a ball out of the park. How many other guys in the Major League Baseball were on steroids at the same time and couldn't come close to hitting the same home run? So say what you want. Look, what Judge did was impressive. I'm not trying to take away the spotlight from him, but Barry Bonds is the home run king, if you ask me.
There's no denying it, because he is. He hit 73 and Judge has 62. That's it. End of story. What I would say is it's a slippery slope. If you want to start looking at one group versus other, the steroid era versus other, because you could completely eviscerate any record book based on so many different factors of your choosing. So what I would say to Roger Maris Jr., who has gotten far too much publicity, that dude's on TV every single night. every single night.
Tweet last night, he's holding court and saving. He's the real home run champ.
Like, shut up, Roger Maris Jr. No one cares. No one should care what you have to say. For some reason, we do. I have no idea why anyone's sticking a camera in front of that dude's face. Because his dad was an incredible baseball player. I mean, I'm so sick of seeing him, and I'm so thrilled, more so than anything. Last night's home run for Aaron Judge closes the door on me having to hear Roger Maris Jr. bitch and complain night after night about Barry Bonds and Mark McGwire. Get out of here, Roger Maris. See ya! As Michael Kay would say to Aaron Judge's home run, I say to Roger Maris Jr., Barry Bonds is the home run champ. End of story.
Well, did Barry
Thank
Bonds
you for
do
saying
it?
That, AK. I totally agree with you. Roger Maris Jr. getting way too much press for being the son of Roger Maris.
Yeah, I hear you. And didn't Bonds do it, like, getting walked the most amount of times in
That was
AD
the next
history?
Year. That was the
oh,
next
that's
year.
Oh, next year. Okay. Yeah.
I think he was only walked, like, 50 times in his 73 home run season. And then, I believe, 2 years later, he had 120 intentional walks.
Yeah.
232 on the year in 2004 for Barry Bonds.
He couldn't find a job after he did that.
Yeah, what Crazy. A coincidence. Anyways, what AK, else we got,
he was Rod? Walked 177 times in 2001, actually.
Really?
Yeah,
Which
I thought.
More
and
than
had
Judge.
Se-
I think
and,
Judge
and
has
had 73 homers?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I thought he had a record of walks that season, too.
Oof, but crazy.
On Which even makes it even more impressive, right? I mean, the guys had to, guy only had a certain selection of pitches he could hit.
His on-base percentage that season was .515, so he was more on base than he was out. That is a good hitter, ladies and gentlemen. Last night, not in the NBA, but it was a massive basketball game between G League Ignite, which is the prospect team in the G League, and Metz, which is a French basketball team. Now, you ask, why was that game important? Because it was a game between the consensus number one pick, Victor Wembanyama, and number two pick, Scoot Henderson. But all the story and all the headlines went to this man and his unique name.
Gasol curling off the screen, driving baseline. Oh, you fat with a three. Yes, I just said that. That is that man's name. Don't tweet at me. I don't want to tweet from anybody. That's you the man's could. Name.
So, Steve Hoyufat, bang or what? Is that the greatest name for an athlete right now?
That can't
What's
be
the story?
Real, is it?
What's the story behind that?
Like, that's his real name, Hoyufat?
That's his real... I can't find... Like, I mean, he's a French basketball player, so there's not a lot out on him, but from what I can find, that's his name right now.
Oh, hey, man, bang to the broadcaster that had to go with it, because... Could
well,
you imagine if the guy finds a way
old.
To play in the NBA and Mike Breen is like, "Ho, you fat! Bang!" Oh, jeez.
Ho, you fat has a career average of 2.7 points, 1.3 rebounds, and 1 assist per game. He's 34 years old. Very, very sad to say he will not be playing in the NBA anytime soon.
Probably better for the broadcasters.
Yeah. Yeah,
and exactly. Everybody involved. Also, I don't know if you guys have seen like Victor Wembanyama's highlights, but if you're not a contender, I don't know what you're doing if you're not tanking. Like, this guy is going to be something.
He is 7'5" and can move. I mean, he is a dynamic
player. He's 7'5"?
He's a freak. He's unbelievable. Defensively,
wow.
They're calling him the best.
Wembanyama.
They're calling him the best defensive prospect in NBA history by a mile. Offensively,
better than LeBron?
Well, defensive. I'm talking about defensive.
Oh, defensive.
Not a top prospect. I mean, he's not going to be LeBron. That would be a stretch. But, I mean, there's no doubt people view him as a superstar in the making. And
so do you want the tank? Do you want the Raptors to tank for this guy?
No. Raptors don't. Raptors couldn't get to that, the depths of the NBA despair that would be in line with tanking for Wembanyama. There's a lot of, like, San Antonio. They want Vic.
Oh, yeah.
They want him to be their new Tim Duncan for the next 20 years, and it could happen. I will say, like, a 7'5" body. Like,
I don't know. Oklahoma City seems like they own half of the draft for the next
Oklahoma City
years.
Would trade every single draft pick that they have for the next 10 years in order to secure Wembanyama, that's for sure. So, yeah, it was cool to see him. Scoot Henderson, I mean, that guy's a stud, too. I mean, he's going to be a really good player. He's got a great name. Not as good as Ho You Fat, but pretty close.
Bang!
And I gotta say, yeah, like, one of the funniest storylines that can happen this season, if the Lakers are bad, the Pelicans own their first round pick. So it'll be something if the Lakers get into the lottery and the Pelicans, who are going to be a pretty good team, get to have a top draft pick.
Pelicans, Zion made his debut last night back in basketball, and I think the Pelicans could be a surprising team in the NBA this year if Zion can stay healthy.
Well, if Zion can stay healthy, he'll probably be an MVP candidate. The guy's unbelievable. He just can't stay healthy.
Yeah,
that's it. I mean, Zion Williamson's so good. And if you're circling dates on the Raptors' home schedule, the Pelicans' arrival in Toronto was one of those games I'd absolutely want to go to, because Zion is amongst the most fun players in the NBA to watch live. He's a ridiculous athlete. You just hope he can stay healthy, because that's been a serious problem for him so far in his career. What else we got, Rod?
And last one, the Leafs start their regular season exactly 1 week from today. So bang or what? It's time to change the goal song.
Like, people are making a big deal about this goal song. Like,
because it sucks.
Well, I can understand why people would hate it because it sucks, but I don't, like, it doesn't really bother me that much. If anything, if they're going to change it, I'd love to see them adopt what Buffalo did. I think Detroit's doing it too, or Tampa may be doing it. I know there's another team that's exploring it. Like, this is the way hockey should evolve. Let each guy choose their own goal song. And every time that person scores, that's the goal song that plays, and then there's no argument about what the goal song is anymore.
Yeah, I feel like there's been far too much discussion about the Leafs' goal song, and I get it. People are really passionate about the Toronto Maple Leafs.
A.K.A. A lot of making goals. My dreams come true, buddy.
Well, thank you very much. A lot of goals are scored by the Toronto Maple Leafs. You might see 60-plus from Auston Matthews and 60-plus Hall & Oates renditions down at Scotiabank Arena or arenas around the NHL. Should the Leafs change their goal song? Sure. If they want to, cool. If they don't, I mean, my guess is they're not going to at this point in time.
We don't know that.
Anything, right?
We don't know
that. I guess we'll find out 1 week from tonight. Is that a game at home or is that in Montreal?
Let me check.
We'll find out. We'll find out for you. We'll tell you on the other side if the Leafs will be playing at home on Wednesday night next week for sure. And we got to discuss. We talked so much about Aaron Judge, the season that he's had. Is it possible that Justin Verlander's year was even more impressive?
Oh, my God.
I think the answer is yes. And we'll get into it on the other side again. Dave Poulin in about 15 minutes. First Up continues after this. So congratulations to Aaron Judge. He hits number 62 last night in Texas, a bullet to left field. Some guy caught the ball on the fly, was escorted out of the stadium.
And Corey Humans.
Presumably going to be even richer than he currently is, because apparently this guy's got a lot of cash in the bank. But with all the conversation surrounding Judge, his pursuit of the American League record for home runs, I wonder if Justin Verlander's unbelievable season has gotten lost in the mix here. So Verlander pitches last night, his final start of the season for the Houston Astros. Keep in mind, he's 39 years old, coming off of Tommy John surgery. He goes 5 innings, perfect, 10 strikeouts, concludes one of the most impressive seasons in the American League in the last 20 years. He finishes the year with a 1.75 ERA in 175 innings, the lowest ERA in a season since Pedro in 2000. This guy had Tommy John. He's 39 years old, and he was able to do that considering the circumstances. Verlander, he's not the MVP, obviously. That's not what I'm trying to say. But as far as impressive seasons, Verlander's year has to be right up there with Judge. It's hard to take away anything from Aaron Judge. Again,
even Ohtani's.
Ohtani is a whole different conversation. I mean, that guy is ridiculous. I agree. I think Ohtani, you know, all things considered, has had the best season of anybody, because he's had a great year on the mound and hit a ton of home runs as well.
Yeah.
But Verlander at age 39, coming off of Tommy John, he deserves some love as well.
So there was also this stat released by OptiStats. Justin Verlander is the only MLB pitcher in the modern era to have 3 games in a season where he pitched 5-plus innings and finished with no hits allowed.
That's crazy.
This guy,
and he almost was
39 years old, man.
Justin Verlander almost was a Toronto Blue Jay. By all reports in the offseason, that was very close to happening. He was picking between Toronto and Houston and made, I guess, a good decision. It's not the irony is it's very possible the Jays play Houston in the ALDS in that, at some point next week if things go according to plan against Seattle. But
I truly believe, that's a tough matchup. Based on speculation that was out there, that the reason why Verlander chose Houston over Toronto was because of all the COVID stuff through the borders that he didn't want to deal with.
And understandable.
It's understandable. And could you think, like, another player that the Blue Jays were in was Kyle Schwarber? Would you imagine if the Blue Jays had both Verlander and Schwarber in this lineup right now?
Imagine it was Manoa. I guess Verlander probably gets the first start just based on the season he had. But you have Verlander, Manoa, Gosman. Like, good luck. Good luck beating those
guys.
And
there would be no Kikuchi here because basically they spent that money on Kikuchi.
Well, Kikuchi has a very important role today, Carlo. Important role today.
Yes.
The Jays play a doubleheader, completely meaningless against Baltimore. 12:35 first pitch, and I don't know who's going to be in the lineup. What I do know is that Mitch White and Yusei Kikuchi will be pitching a ton in those two games. And George Springer yesterday was talking about hitting left-handed. Like, that's how these guys are viewing these final two games because they are completely irrelevant as far as
the only thing you hope for in these two games, if they play them, because there's still threat of weather, which is why the game was postponed yesterday, is don't get injured.
No. Do not run out of any ground balls.
You don't want anybody to have anything bothering them for what most of these players are predicting is the most exciting moments in their lives right now. A home game in Toronto that, you know, they haven't really experienced, haven't experienced anything close to it in their career so far. And especially everything this group has been through the last 2.5, 3 years with, you know, COVID and playing in 4 different ballparks. I just feel for them. I feel the excitement for them. And, you know, not to switch back to, you know, the conversation we just had about Schwarber and Verlander, but Verlander is one of the best pitchers in the league. You talk about 1.75 playing on the best team in the league in Houston. Schwarber had 46 home runs. Could you imagine what 46 home runs would do to this Blue Jays lineup as a left-handed bat?
Yeah, he also hit like 200, though, Schwarber, did he not? I mean, he's good. He's a good power bat. But no.
That's how close the Blue Jays were to being way better than they are.
Well, and those are the margins for sure. And we've got 4 games coming up on Friday after the season concludes today. The Phillies at the Cardinals, your Cardinals, Coco. Is that your NL team?
It is, yes.
I'm with the Braves because I bet on them after Buster said he thinks they're going to win the World Series. So the Braves are my guys. Yes. The San Diego Padres.
I'm a Birds guy, man.
That is true.
Blue Jay and the Cardinal, man. Come on.
San Diego and the Mets, which is an awesome series. Cannot wait to see that one. The Rays and the Guardians will not watch that. For a second, no thanks. And
yeah,
Seattle
we'll
and Toronto.
On it somehow.
Yeah, I'm sure. There's no doubt about that. And then Seattle and Toronto, where, I mean, I think that's going to be a really, really quality series. You've got great starting pitching on both sides. We know the big three for Toronto. Well, I guess you can qualify as a big four with Manoa, Gosman, and depending on who goes, Berríos or Stripling. And then Seattle's got Castillo. They've got Logan Gilbert. And they've got our old friend Robbie Ray as well. So those are the three arms you'll see for Seattle if it does indeed go 3 games. And Toronto, I mean, John Schneider was on overdrive yesterday, was asked about the situation with third starter, right? If that is something that comes to fruition, because we all think it'll be Manoa, Gosman 1-2. And beyond that, it's kind of difficult to figure out.
Hopefully he doesn't get to a 3 and we don't have
exactly. Here is Schneider from yesterday on overdrive on making a decision on the starting rotation.
Well, we're still working through kind of the whole process, I think. We haven't, we're going to touch base with the guys shortly in the next day and kind of lay out our thinking and our plan. But again, we have a luxury of having 4 really good starters. So we're going to kind of make sure we're, you know, thinking through every possible situation and just try to put the guys in the right spot with both, you know, a short picture and a big picture in front of us. So nothing yet set in stone with the way we're lining it up, and we should know within the next 24 hours.
I wonder if they zag when others might zig, and you could go maybe Ross Stripling in game 2 if you win game 1. And then you line up Kevin Gausman for the first game of the ALDS at the Houston Astros. That would be an aggressive move, and that's something I would kind of support as well. That would show the ultimate of confidence in your roster, to say the least, keeping Gausman out. And, you know, considering the finger injury he's dealing with, maybe that is the prudent situation. But it does sound like the Gausman finger problem is not something that is significant at all. And he'll be ready to go when the playoffs begin on Friday. We have Dave Poulin, our hockey analyst. He'll join us on the other side. The Toronto Maple Leafs begin their season in Montreal in 7 days' time. We'll get to that with Poulin, plus a big new contract with Matthew Barzal with the Islanders. First Up continues after this.
This is Leafs Breakfast.
So, before we get into Dave Poulin and get into Leaf talk, I have to share this funny story that happened to me yesterday. So, during the break, I do a live Frank Leo read every day. And my son is in the car with me yesterday, and when we're in the car, we listen to 1050, so he hears the Frank Leo reads that run throughout the station. So all of a sudden, out of the blue, my son in the back seat reaches out to me, and he goes, "Daddy, I'm famous." I go, "Really?" He goes, "Yeah, I got a website." I was like, "Wait a minute, you got a website?" And my son's like, he's amazing with iPads. I'm like, "This guy signed up a website on with his own domain?" I go, "Really? How'd you do that?" He goes, "It's getleo.com. I got my own website." So my son is popular because he hears getleo.com because of Frank Leo every day.
Well, I mean, he's got the hockey in his blood, but if not, perhaps sure real estate would work out for young Leo Koliakova. Let's bring in our TSN hockey analyst, Dave Poulin. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, gentlemen. I will say, Carl, there's going to be a time in your very near future when Leo soars by you in terms of what he's doing and what he's capable of. And, you know, it happened to me, and it happened essentially at the Scrabble table when I realized I had no chance. I was playing against three girls, and I had zero chance of winning a game of Scrabble, like none. And competitive and just unbelievable. And the more two-letter words than I'd ever knew existed in my life. And so that's coming with Leo. It'll come in the computer age, but it'll come way sooner than you expect or that you really are comfortable with.
Well, I just hope it's a Get Leo website and not some other website that he signs up to. So
he'll be just fine. It'll be sports related.
Knowing his dad, he'll be signing up for a lot of websites, I guess.
Well, Pooley, since you brought up Scrabble, let's play Scrabble with the Toronto Maple Leafs. Nick Robertson is a name that has caught a lot of people's attention. I'll give you how I feel about Nick Robertson. I think he's done exactly what he's needed to do with an opportunity of an injury, put himself in a position where he can start the year in the top six. But if we were playing Scrabble with this lineup, where do you envision Nick Robertson to be once everybody's healthy?
I think once everybody's healthy, he's pushing to be with John Tavares and Willie Nylander on the second line. Yeah, I think that's the ideal situation. I think that's what the Leafs would prefer. He's arguably the most skilled of that group. And that's where he fits the best in his mind and with his game. And there are pieces to look after. But he's taken advantage of a situation, just as you speak about that line with Kerfoot, and Nylander was good again the other night. I mean, they're, you know, they're showing that they can answer right now with Tavares out of the lineup. And I think that's where he fits, Carl. I really do, because I think Kerfoot is more valuable a little bit further down in the lineup.
Yeah, no, I agree for sure. And the thing for me is that, like, if Robertson is pushing a guy or pushing for a spot to stay on that, who comes out of the lineup after that when everybody's healthy? Because you've got to remember, a healthy lineup, they're only carrying 20 players.
Well, and that'll be the chess game. And there's still a lot of work to do in terms of getting this lineup in order from a cap standpoint. Mm-hmm. With John Tavares out, there's a lot of work to do in the next, you know, handful of days. And, but from a cap standpoint, he fits in whatever they're doing. And, you know, you see the ramp up of exhibition season, and it's the same every year. It will always be the same in terms of how camps break. You know, you get that early push and lineups are nowhere near full lineups, and you get, you know, a young player who'll stand out. Then it levels a little bit, and then you see the veterans are getting more involved, a little more interested, and and, you know, starting to ramp up their games a little bit. And some of the rookies will continue to excel, and some of them, some of the younger players will fall off a little bit when the game starts to press up. And it's still not regular season speed. We know that. And it's still not regular season lineups. And you're not 100% sure what you're going to get from Detroit this weekend in terms of lineups. Ideally, you would say, we're matching and going full Friday and Saturday night. But we've talked about this before in the show. We used to play Detroit back-to-back. And Kenny Holland, you know, would say, yeah, you're not getting a lineup in your building. You're not getting, you know, here's who we're sending. We're saying, come on, Kenny, you can't do that. And, you know, you can't. And because you want to put a lineup in front of your fans. And then you're going back to Detroit the next night and you're saying, okay, here's what we're coming back with. You know, we're going to do the same thing to you. Well, that satisfies nobody and nothing, because now you've got, you know, a lesser team playing against a greater team two nights in a row. And they were always the last two exhibition games of the year. So you just don't get a feel for where you are with your lineup or what your team has. And so I think you've got to say in your own mind how you're doing what you're doing, and you're not trying to match up whatever Detroit is doing in these last couple of games. And even the setting up of this schedule, the setting up of this exhibition schedule would have been done months ago, guys. And with the border still in mind, and, you know, the fact that you're playing multiple games against Montreal and Ottawa, to say that, you know, in case the border is still an issue, we're not going to bring it into play. We're not going to, you know, and let's face it, it's only how long since it's eased up, you know, just recently with the NavCan app and all those things that are required. So even putting Detroit on back when you did was a little bit of a risk in crossing the border. All of that is eased now, but you've played against three teams in this exhibition series. You were 60 points ahead of Montreal, 42 ahead of Ottawa, and 41 ahead of Detroit. So even in terms of the lineup, you know, you're posting, you're playing against three teams that were down near the bottom of the NHL last year. You've just got to worry about your own group.
Dave Poulin with us, TSN hockey analyst here on Leafs Breakfast. Dave, does Matt Murray's 43 save on 44 shots preseason so far, he's been pretty good to my eye, mean anything to you at all as far as projecting what we can expect this season?
It does. It does, for sure. And I don't think we should be, I guess, overexcited about the good. We would have been over-frustrated or over-challenged with the bad, and it hasn't been there at all. Both guys have been good, and they both played a half a game flawlessly, and Samsonov has played his full game flawlessly, and Murray, you know, gave up one. But that's exactly what you were looking for. Exactly. Goaltending has not been an issue. Now, the team has only given up 9 goals in 5 games, so they've done their part as well. And we've talked about the hybrids of lineups, but you play with whom you have. And I think goaltending has not been a story, and that's a very good thing, because it was a very big story going in for all the reasons it should have been a big story going in. And yet those two guys have answered. I thought Murray looked really good in the last game. I thought he made, you know, a handful of saves in particular that showed really good lateral movement. And, you know, his play at times, particularly last year, when it looked like he had taken the net in Ottawa, clearly taken the net, and we do, you know, a lot of those games, and you were saying, okay, this is the Matt Murray that Ottawa traded for. And the problem was it wasn't able to be sustained, and it was injuries, you know, that always crept up and took him out. So he has to get through that part and said, okay, it's been great through the exhibition season in your, you know, moments that you've played, and you've been tasked with half game, full game, and you've done very well. Now it's got to continue. And maybe it continues with the proper push from Samsonov. And Samsonov is thinking, okay, I've done exactly what I've been asked to do. And now if you were leaving it exactly as you're leaving it right now, I'm assuming you're seeing them once more each. Who's your starter on opening night?
And it's Matt Murray.
You know, it's Matt Murray. And that's exactly right. And I think he played like a guy that knew that in the last game, which is exactly what you're looking for.
Yeah, it sure is, Pooley. Well, I bet you Matt Barzal was looking for a nice contract, which he received yesterday. 8-year deal with a 9.15 AAV salary. And I'd love to hear your thoughts on it, because, look, I'm happy for the player. I'm always happy for the player when the player gets a good contract. But I'm surprised at the number. I mean, Matt Barzal has scored 22 goals once in his career. He hasn't come close to that in the remaining 5 years of his tenure on the island. He's an average 60-point guy. I mean, is that what we're talking about now? As the sort of ceiling of what guys make at $9 million is a 20-goal scorer, 60-point guy?
I would say the number surprises me, and yet this is all about their internal cap and what they're looking at. And if they think that Matt Barzal is their best forward, and in that group, I believe he's their best forward, but significantly higher than Anders Lee, who's their second highest paid forward. And, you know, in the group that they've got coming, I guess you'd argue the most skilled kid is Oliver Wahlstrom, the young forward, the young college forward out of BC. And Barzal's clearly, this is about their internal cap. They've set their internal cap just over $9 million, which is reasonable for where the league is moving forward. I'm not sure Matthew Barzal right now is a $9 million player.
Yeah,
the way
I
he
don't
burst
see it
in
either.
The league. Well, the way he burst in the league, it certainly looked like he was
right, right
in that first year.
But has it come close to that in the next 5 years?
He hasn't. Now, he's had some injuries. There's a shortened season in there. But this is about projection. They think they know what they've got. It's been 5 full years. They think they know what they've got in Matt Barzal. But the number did surprise me. And maybe it surprised me more coming out of Long Island and Lou Lamoriello.
Lou.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, there's a trust factor that goes with Lou and his decisions that you almost dismiss your question, Carlo, and say, well, it's Lou.
Right.
Like there's this little asterisk that's over to the right and says, well, it's Lou. But it is that 85-point year that he roared out of the gate within the NHL. He didn't, you know, I mean, he came out, you know, just blazing. He wins Rookie of the Year, and it looks like, wow, this is a 100-point guy every year. But he has been banged up a little bit, but, you know, and then all of a sudden it falls back, and it's more, well, maybe this is a 60-point guy.
Right.
But they think he's their best offensive player. They've set their internal cap. And their internal cap, by the way, at the forward position is over $2 million high than they're paying their captain right now, you know, who's put up a number of higher goal seasons for sure in Anders Lee.
Dave, I'm curious to know your thoughts on the Ottawa Senators heading into the season. We've got games coming up on Friday from Prague. Could the Leafs open up 7 days from today? And Ottawa's been the story of the offseason, especially here north of the border, all the moves they've made, trades, big free agent acquisitions. And I remember back in July when we had you on, I think you might have said they're like you're on the verge of being a playoff team this year. As the season inches closer, do you still view them in that same light?
I do. I think they're a team that's coming and it's going to cause problems. The injury to Cam Talbot hurts a little bit because I think he sort of calmed down, you know, their second goalie position very nicely behind Anton Forsberg. But I think Forsberg can carry the mail for, you know, the first month or 5 weeks of the season or whatever it's going to be for Talbot. You know, the questions they had going in, I think they've answered some of them. I think Jake Sanderson's the top four NHL defenseman. I see nothing to dissuade me from saying that. And, you know, and I'm comparing them, guys, to two-year college defensemen that have come out. And, you know, Charlie McAvoy came out after 2 years at BU and Quinn Hughes 2 years at Michigan and Cale Makar 2 years at UMass. And these guys came out after 2 years of college and were ready to play. And the people I talked to in NCAA think that Jake Sanderson's on that same curve. He's a bigger guy, actually, than most of those guys. And you know, he's 6'2", and he's rangy, and he can skate, and he can think the game well. And it looks like they found a good partner for him in Travis Hamonic. And, you know, a veteran that can kind of take a little bit of heat off him. But he looks good, and his skating gets him out of a lot. And, you know, he'll have some defensive flaws just because he's a young defenseman. But I think that was a big question going in. DeBrincat's going to score, guys. He just flat out is. Mm-hmm. And he's going to play with Giroux, who, you know, looks very fresh right now. And
savvy.
Think about going,
very
he
savvy.
Does. He's a smart player. And, you know, I think DeBrincat early on tried to show that he was capable of more than just scoring. When the guy gets traded and he's a scorer and he's a shooter and he gets, you know, trumpeted up for all those reasons, and he goes in, well, wait a second, I can pass too. And then it was like the last game on Saturday night, not last night, but Saturday night, when he said, yeah, now forget this, I'm a scorer, I'm going to shoot the puck, and he did every time he touched it. And he got a couple goals and got the overtime winner. scored again last night. Seth Giroux up for a good one last night. Timmy Stützle will play between those two guys. And the other line hasn't really got going, but you know what they're capable of with Tkachuk and Batherson and Norris. But I think they're balanced up front. Guys, the sleeper in that group is Shane Pinto. This kid's a really good player.
You've loved him for a couple of years, eh, Pooley?
I have. You know, I did a couple of his first games in the league. He only played like five games, and then he got hurt his second year. Mm-hmm. Carl, he's bigger than you think he is. He's 6'2", and he plays a kind of a longer game than you think. And defensively, we knew what he was capable of. He won the Defensive Player of the Year, but also the Player of the Year when he was at North Dakota. And that's kind of a rare combination in college because you do have, you know, older guys who are defensive specialists, and for a young guy to win that award. But he's really smart, and he has scored. Like, he can shoot the puck, and he's playing the bumper position on the power play. And, you know, they're having this thing about, oh, first and second power play, we got too many power play guys. Well, nobody has too many power play guys. And I get into quite an argument on Ottawa radio with Sean Simpson about that and said, look, I mean, the unit that's scoring will be out there. And it's been that unit, the second unit, but it's Shane Pinto in the bumper position. Now, when you have to bring it off the back door and you both right shots, that's kind of where the focus of the defense goes over to that side. And so you're open in the middle. But he's showing he can execute that. I think he's got three goals from almost the same position, and they're rocket shots. I'm a big fan of the player, and that's your number three centerman, and that lets you balance things nicely, you know, through three lines, because defensive matchups are no issue for this kid at all.
Dave, thanks for doing this for us this morning. The next time we speak to you next week, it'll be Leafs and Habs opening night. Cannot wait for that, and we appreciate you doing this for us again. So we'll talk to you soon.
Looking forward to it, gentlemen. Enjoy your day.
All right, you too, buddy.
Dave Poulin, TSN hockey analyst. Hour number three of First Up coming up on the other side. MLB Network's Greg Amsinger will look ahead to the Jays and the Mariners, which begins on Friday at some time. We don't know the schedule quite yet, but we'll work to get that for you. And some burning Toronto sports questions from our producer, Arad Osfandi, in 15 minutes. Hour three of First Up next.